What happens after we die? Where will the soul go? The question of what happens after we die has captivated humanity for millennia. Throughout various cultures and religions, different interpretations have surfaced, attempting to explain the unknown. For Christians, the Bible offers a distinct and comforting narrative about the journey of the soul after death, detailing what happens to both believers and non-believers in the afterlife. Understanding this journey helps clarify key aspects such as what happens immediately after death, the resurrection of the body, and the eternal destinations of heaven and hell. 1. Immediate afterlife. Believers' souls taken to heaven. According to biblical teachings, when a believer dies, their soul is immediately taken to heaven. This comforting belief is rooted in the understanding that Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, forgives the sins of those who believe in him. The soul, liberated from the burden of sin, can then ascend to God's presence in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 8, the Apostle Paul expresses this belief, saying, "Therefore we are always of good courage, and we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Here Paul presents the idea that once we are absent from our physical bodies, through death, our souls are immediately present with the Lord. The body is left behind, but the soul, which is the essence of our being, is received into the loving arms of God. The believer's journey does not end here, however. While their soul may be in heaven, the resurrection of the body is still to come. This future event, often referred to as the resurrection, is described in various scriptures, such as 1 Corinthians 15:50-54 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. In these passages, the dead in Christ will rise, and their souls will be reunited with glorified bodies, bodies that are free from decay, sin, and mortality. This unification of the glorified body and the soul signifies the believer's complete transformation, equipping them for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation 21, John's vision of the end times reveals a new creation where God will dwell with his people in perfect harmony. The imagery of a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven as a bride prepared for her husband symbolizes the final union between God and his people. In this new creation, there will be no more suffering, death, or pain, for the former order of things has passed away. This vision offers hope to believers, knowing that their eternal destiny is one of peace, joy, and communion with God. 2. The rich man and Lazarus. A look at the eternal destinations of believers and unbelievers. In Luke 16, 19-31, Jesus tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, a story that illustrates the contrasting fates of the righteous and the unrighteous after death. The story speaks of a wealthy man who lived a life of luxury and self-indulgence, while a poor beggar named Lazarus suffered at his gates, longing for scraps of food. Eventually, both men die, and their fates after death provide insight into the realities of the afterlife. Lazarus is carried by angels to Abraham's side, symbolizing heaven or a place of comfort for the righteous. The rich man, however, finds himself in Hades, a place of torment, suffering, and separation from God. The stark contrast between their post-death experiences highlights the reality that one's eternal fate is determined by their faith and actions in life. The rich man, now suffering in torment, looks up and sees Lazarus at Abraham's side. He pleads for a drop of water to cool his tongue, but Abraham informs him that a great chasm separates the two places, preventing any passage between them. This chasm represents the fixed and irreversible nature of one's eternal fate. Once a person has died, their destination, whether heaven or hell, is sealed. There are no second chances, no opportunities for repentance or redemption after death. This parable emphasizes the importance of how we live our lives and where we place our faith. For Lazarus, his faith and righteousness led him to the comfort of Abraham's side. The rich man, who neglected the needs of others and lived only for himself, was condemned to eternal suffering. This story not only serves as a warning to those who live without regard for God's commandments, but also as a reassurance to believers that their faith in Christ ensures their place in God's eternal kingdom. 3. Soul versus body. the eternal nature of the soul. The distinction between the soul and the body is another key concept in understanding the afterlife. The Bible teaches that while our bodies are temporary and subject to decay, our souls are eternal. This means that while our bodies will age, weaken, and eventually die, our souls, the true essence of who we are, will continue to exist forever. This idea is affirmed in various scriptures. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Here, Jesus underscores the difference between the body, which is perishable, and the soul, which is eternal. While physical death may claim our bodies, it cannot destroy our souls, which are destined for eternity. After death, the soul continues to exist in a conscious state. It retains the personality traits, emotions, and memories that characterize the individual in life. This is evident in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, though dead, retains his identity, his memories of his earthly life, and his emotions. He recognizes Lazarus and Abraham, he feels the torment of his situation, and he even expresses concern for his living family members. This continuity of consciousness after death reinforces the belief that the soul is the true self. Our bodies may change and deteriorate over time, but our souls, the essence of who we are, remain intact. The soul carries with it our thoughts, feelings, and experiences, making it the enduring part of our being. While the body is temporary, the Bible teaches that it will be resurrected and glorified in the end times. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul describes the resurrection of the dead, explaining that our perishable bodies will be transformed into imperishable ones. These glorified bodies will no longer be subject to pain, disease, or death. Instead, they will be perfectly suited for eternal life in God's presence. The resurrection signifies the completion of God's redemptive work, as believers will be made whole, body and soul, for eternity. 4. Heaven's reality, a place of adventure, work, and purpose. Heaven is often misunderstood as a purely spiritual realm where souls float around in an ethereal state, worshiping God in a never-ending church service. While worship is certainly a central aspect of heaven, the Bible presents a far richer and more dynamic vision of what eternity with God will look like. In Revelation 21-22, heaven is depicted as a new heaven and a new earth, where God will dwell with his people in a restored creation. This new creation is not just a spiritual existence, but a physical one as well. Believers will have glorified bodies and will inhabit a real, tangible world that is free from the corruption of sin. Heaven will be a place of adventure, work, and purpose. Believers will not spend eternity in idle rest, but will be engaged in meaningful activity. In Genesis, before the fall, God gave Adam and Eve the task of caring for the Garden of Eden. Work, therefore, is not a result of sin, but a part of God's original design for humanity. In the new creation, work will be restored to its original purpose, fulfilling, joyful, and glorifying to God. In addition to work, heaven will also be a place of adventure. The infinite God has created an infinite universe, full of wonders and mysteries yet to be explored. Believers will have the opportunity to explore God's creation, learn new things, and experience the joy of discovery. Heaven will be anything but boring. It will be a place of endless delight where every moment brings new opportunities to glorify God and enjoy His presence. Above all, heaven will be a place of perfect communion with God. Believers will see God face to face, and they will experience the fullness of His love, joy, and peace. Every tear will be wiped away, and there will be no more death, sorrow, or pain. In heaven, believers will finally experience the fullness of what it means to be in a relationship with God, free from the distractions and hardships of this world. 5. Judgment in hell, the final destination for unbelievers. While heaven is the ultimate destination for believers, the Bible also teaches about the reality of hell, the final destination for those who reject Christ. Hell is described as a place of eternal separation from God, a place of suffering and torment for those who have chosen to live apart from God's will. In Revelation 20:11-15, John describes the final judgment, known as the Great White Throne Judgment. At this judgment, all unbelievers are resurrected and judged according to their deeds. Those whose names are not found in the Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. This eternal punishment is reserved for those who have rejected God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 also provides insight into the nature of hell. The rich man, after his death, finds himself in Hades, a place of torment. He is fully conscious of his suffering, experiencing pain and regret for the life he lived on earth. He can see Lazarus in comfort at Abraham's side, but is unable to reach him due to the great chasm that separates them. This chasm symbolizes the irreversible nature of one's eternal fate after death. Once a person dies, their destiny is sealed, and there is no crossing from one side to the other. The rich man's torment is intensified by the knowledge that he could have lived differently and avoided his fate, yet he now finds himself eternally separated from God's presence. Hell is not a popular subject in modern discourse, often dismissed as a relic of outdated religious thought. However, the Bible is clear in its teachings about the reality of hell. It is a place of punishment for those who have chosen to reject God's love and salvation. The suffering in hell is not arbitrary or unjust, but is the natural consequence of a life lived apart from God. God is the source of all that is good, and to be separated from Him is to be separated from goodness, love, and peace. Hell, therefore, is the absence of all that God is. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus speaks of the final judgment, saying, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." This passage reinforces the idea that there are two possible eternal destinations: heaven for those who have accepted Christ, and hell for those who have rejected Him. The duration of these destinies is described as eternal, meaning that there is no end to the joy of heaven or the suffering of hell. While this concept may be difficult to grasp, it is a central tenet of Christian theology. One common question that arises is whether a loving God would truly send people to hell. The Bible answers this by explaining that God does not desire anyone to perish, but rather that all would come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God has made a way for every person to be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. However, God also respects human free will. Those who choose to reject God's offer of salvation are, in effect, choosing to separate themselves from God for eternity. Hell is not so much a place that God actively sends people to, but rather the destination for those who have chosen to live apart from Him. 6. The finality of judgment and the second death. The concept of the second death, mentioned in Revelation 20:14-15, is crucial to understanding the nature of hell. The second death refers to the eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. While the first death is the physical death that all people experience, the second death is the spiritual death that only those who reject Christ will endure. This second death is final and irreversible. It represents the complete and eternal separation of the soul from God's presence. At the Great White Throne Judgment, the dead are judged according to their deeds, and those whose names are not written in the Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. This judgment is not based on whether a person lived a morally good life, but on whether they accepted God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Book of Life contains the names of those who have placed their faith in Christ, and it is their faith, not their works, that determines their eternal destiny. For unbelievers, the second death is described as a place of eternal torment. Revelation 14:11 says, "And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name." This passage emphasizes the unending nature of the suffering in hell. While the Bible does not provide a detailed description of what this suffering entails, it is clear that it is a place of great anguish, regret, and separation from all that is good. It is important to note that while hell is often depicted as a place of physical fire, the true suffering of hell lies in the complete separation from God. God is the source of life, light, and love, and to be cut off from Him is to be cut off from all that is good. Hell is not just a place of physical torment, but a state of spiritual desolation, where the soul is eternally separated from its creator. Shiman, the hope of heaven, eternal life in God's presence. While the reality of hell is a sobering truth, the hope of heaven offers comfort and joy to believers. Heaven is the final destination for those who have placed their faith in Christ, and it is described as a place of unparalleled beauty, joy, and peace. In Revelation 21:4, we are told, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Heaven is the fulfillment of God's promise to His people. It is a place where believers will experience the fullness of life, free from the pain, suffering, and limitations of this world. In heaven, there will be no more death, disease, or decay. The struggles of this life will be forgotten as believers bask in the glory of God's presence. One of the most profound aspects of heaven is the promise of eternal communion with God. Throughout the Bible, the relationship between God and His people is likened to that of a bride and groom. In Revelation 21, heaven is described as the New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. This imagery speaks of the intimate and loving relationship that believers will experience with God in eternity. Just as a bride and groom are united in marriage, so too will believers be united with God in perfect harmony and love. In heaven, believers will also be reunited with loved ones who have gone before them. The Bible speaks of a great gathering of the saints, where believers from every tribe, tongue, and nation will come together to worship God. This reunion will be a time of great joy and celebration as the people of God are finally brought together in His presence. But heaven is not just a place of rest and worship. It is also a place of purpose and fulfillment. As mentioned earlier, heaven will be a place of adventure and work. Believers will have the opportunity to serve God in meaningful ways, using the gifts and talents that He has given them. This work will not be burdensome or tiresome, but will be a source of joy and fulfillment. In heaven, believers will be able to fully express their creativity, intelligence, and love for God in ways that are not possible in this fallen world. Heaven is also a place of exploration and discovery. God's creation is vast and intricate, and in heaven, believers will have the opportunity to explore the wonders of the new heaven and the new earth. Whether it is through studying the mysteries of the universe or engaging in new forms of art and music, heaven will be a place of endless discovery and delight. Ultimately, heaven is the fulfillment of our deepest longings. It is the place where we will experience the fullness of God's love, joy, and peace. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21 expresses his desire to depart and be with Christ, saying, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For Paul, the hope of heaven was so compelling that he viewed death not as a loss, but as a gain. This same hope is available to all believers, offering the assurance that, no matter what we face in this life, our ultimate destination is a place of eternal joy and fulfillment in God's presence. 8. Living in light of eternity. The journey of the soul after death is a profound and deeply significant aspect of the Christian faith. For believers, death is not something to be feared, but rather a gateway to eternal life with God. The Bible offers a clear and comforting vision of what happens after we die, assuring us that our souls will be taken to heaven to be with God immediately upon death. While our bodies will be left behind, our souls, the essence of who we are, will continue to live in God's presence, where we will experience the fullness of His love, joy, and peace. For unbelievers, however, the Bible also presents the sobering reality of judgment and hell. Those who reject God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ will face eternal separation from God in a place of torment and suffering. This eternal fate is not something that God desires for anyone, but it is the consequence of a life lived apart from Him. In light of these truths, the way we live our lives on earth takes on immense significance. The decisions we make, particularly regarding our faith in Christ, have eternal consequences. For believers, the promise of heaven offers hope and comfort, knowing that our future is secure in God's hands. For those who have yet to place their faith in Christ, the reality of hell serves as a warning and a call to repentance. Ultimately, The journey of the soul after death is a journey toward one of two eternal destinations, heaven or hell. The Bible's message is clear. God desires for all people to come to Him and experience the joy of eternal life in His presence. But He also respects our free will, allowing us to choose whether we will accept or reject His offer of salvation. The choice is ours, and the stakes could not be higher. Heaven and hell are real, and where we spend eternity depends on the decisions we make in this life.